today as we come to the table.
The point I want to make for us first in this is when we examine these areas where God wants us to defeat the enemy in our life, oftentimes there's a secret entrance that we're not even noticing. And we need to find out what it is. Mark, what do you mean? Well, simply this. Over the years, I've had people come to me and they'll say, hey, I struggle in this area. I can't seem to get rid of this sin. And I'll say, well, tell me about your life. What do you do during the day? What are you watching? What are you reading? And as they begin to share what they're watching and what they're reading, inevitably we'll come across something and I'll say, stop right there. What? That's it. That right there is an open door to temptation into your life that you need to close off.
It doesn't matter how often you attempt to fill up a tank. If there's a leak, the water will just keep slipping away each time. In a similar way, as a believer, you may find that each time you attempt to recharge with God's Spirit, it feels like you're being drained instead. So, have you ever paused to find the little leaks in your spiritual journey? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark encourages you to take a moment to reflect and discover what might be holding you back. It's possible that some habits or addictions could be the ones causing the trouble. Once you let go of those things, you'll find that God steps in to help you heal and refresh your spirit. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Types of sin. As I said last, we began looking at the different types of sin we have to deal with and conquer as believers when we give our life to the Lord. We're going to continue looking at these types of sin. Last, remember, we covered iron chariots and giants in the land. And remember, these are the things, guys, that keep believers from walking in freedom. Let me start this out by saying God wants you to be free. There's no reason a believer should not be walking in total freedom in the Lord. And how many of us are in bondage to some degree or another? I mean, if you think about it, let's be honest about this. Out of all of the children of Israel that went into the land, the only two that it tells us that were completely free were Joshua and Caleb. I'm not saying there weren't others that were free, but look at the example we have. They sent 12 spies in before they went into the land. And when the 12 spies came back, 10 of them did not believe God's word or his power. And these were God's people. This was like saying the church. Let's wrap our mind around this. The church went in, and 10 out of the 12 that were going to that church didn't believe that God could do what he said he was going to do. And that gives me an ominous, I think, picture of what I've seen over the years in ministry, and that is this. The majority of Christians do not walk, and here's key, do not walk in total freedom in the land that God has given them. You're free, generally. Most major sins you've dealt with, you have, the big ones are all checked off, but right now many of us in this room are struggling with some of the smaller areas that we simply can't seem to weed out. That is not God's design for the believer. He didn't call you to partial victory. He didn't call you to have things you're struggling with. He called you to freedom. And we're going to see today some more of these types of sin, but not only that, the way to deal with that sin and to be free. God wants you free. He wants you to be a Joshua. He wants you to be a Caleb. He wants you not to be afraid of the giants. It's like the country man from Tennessee I heard about that his daughter ran off with some boy from Kentucky. Now imagine that. You think that country farmer is going to let his daughter grow up with this, you know, boy from Kentucky? He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. He says, you boys jump in the truck, go get her and bring her back. So he put his sons in the truck. They took off to go get her. They got all the way to just about this guy's house where they came to this bridge they had to cross, and they stopped abruptly, turned around, and came back as fast as they could. I mean, they pulled back on the farm. The dad came out and said, where's our daughter? Where's my daughter? Where's your sister? What's going on? He said, Dad, wait a minute. Didn't you say this guy's name was Clarence? He said, yes, that's his name, Clarence. He said, we got right to his house, and there's a bridge there, and clear as day on that bridge, it said, Clarence, 9 feet, 6 inches, and we got out of there. You go get him. Guys, a lot of times we're afraid of the giants. And you know what? A lot of times it's only an illusion. It's not a real giant at all. It's a misunderstanding on our part. And some of you have clearances you don't think you can do. You look at them, you think, I could never attain that. I could never be free in that. It's something I've been involved in my whole life. It's something that's clung on to me, and I know I'm saved, but I can't get rid of that. The Lord wants you to be free. He wants you to be delivered from it. He's guaranteed that you can be delivered from it if you simply believe him. The problem is we oftentimes don't walk in faith, trusting in God to do it, and maybe you've been trying to do it in your own power. I hope that by the time we're done today, you're going to be able to see that it's God's power that sets us free. Now, when we jump into this, we take up midstream here with the children of Israel having partial victory after partial victory because of their unbelief. Yes, they're in the land. They're generally conquering the enemy, but they're not totally driving the enemy out. And God said, drive them out, every last one of them. And that's what we take up in verse 22. If you remember, we saw in the first verses here, and we covered again 8 through 21 last, we saw that Judah, God was using Judah to lead every one of the battles. Judah going up. And we talked about how God wants us to be a people of praise and thanksgiving. And I think that's the first step to freedom from sin, is to be people of praise and thanksgiving. Yes, it may be literal praise, such as singing praise songs, but it might just be a heart of thanksgiving and praise to God. God, thank you for what you've done. I believe your word. I believe in your power. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to put my faith in you. And that's the first thing God wants us to do, is to be those children, again, who walk in that praise. And now we're going to see that he goes on to the other tribes, because they've got to take their land too as well and their territory. And we're going to see they have the same struggles. They go in, but they don't completely conquer the enemy. And that's where we take up in 22. Notice what it says. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with him. Now again, notice Joseph here. It says he went up against Bethel. And notice it says, and the Lord was with him. Now, the first thing I want you to note here is God is giving this picture of Joseph now going in to defeat the enemy in his life. Notice what it says, the Lord was with him. Don't let that pass by you. Because some of you that are struggling with that sin that you can't get out of your life, you're forgetting that God is there to help you do it. God has not said that you have to defeat sin in your life. God has said, let me defeat sin in your life. You're just to believe me and submit to me, and I'll defeat it. And we have to remember that God is with us in these battles. Jesus said this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He wasn't just giving empty words. He means it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is with you. He will help you in the midst of this. And this is something that Joseph needed to hear. And I think it's something that we need to hear as well, especially going in to drive the enemy out. And notice what happens. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, please show us the entrance to the city and we'll show you mercy. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and his family go. Now, there's a couple things to note here. Notice they sent spies to watch this city. I think there are times to send spies and there are times not to send spies. When the children of Israel chose to send in the 12 spies to see the land, that was a stumbling block for them. If they hadn't sent those spies in there to see the land, 10 of them wouldn't have come back saying, we don't have a chance, we can't do this. They would have just been with everybody else saying, let's go in, and God would have given them the victory. But they went in to spy out the land, and 10 of them got afraid. So I think in that case, God didn't tell them to go in. God allowed them to go in when they asked. But it doesn't say anywhere that God told them to go in and spy out the land. And I think a lot of times, if we look too much at what we're facing as a Christian, we can get afraid to even try, especially for the unbeliever. And they say, well, I can't do this. I can't just walk with God and turn away from these things in my life. If they knew too much information, I think it can actually be a hindrance because they haven't experienced the power of God. However, there is a time, guys, that we need to spy out our sin, to spy out the land. What do I mean by that? A lot of times when it comes to sins that we're captive to, if we're captive in a city of sin, we oftentimes don't really see the way in or the way out. We feel trapped. We feel like, I don't know how to get free from this. You know, I don't know what to do to be delivered from this. All I know is that I'm captured and I can't be free. And sometimes we have to step back and look at the situation and say, all right, wait a minute. Let me examine why I'm captured in this city of sin. What is the way out of this? What is the way that the temptation is coming in? Let's evaluate. And even as this man had snuck out of this city, they saw him come out of the city, there was a secret exit and a secret entrance to that city. And they didn't see where he came out or where he went in. But when he came out, they captured him. And they said, all right, you show us where the entrance to this city is, this secret passage in and out. We'll let you live and we'll let your family live. And of course, the man wasn't a fool. He took him up on it and his family lived. But the point I want to make for us first in this is when we examine these areas where God wants us to defeat the enemy in our life, oftentimes there's a secret entrance that we're not even noticing. And we need to find out what it is. Mark, what do you mean? Well, simply this. Over the years, I've had people come to me and they'll say, hey, I struggle in this area. I can't seem to get rid of this sin. And I'll say, well, tell me about your life. What do you do during the day? What are you watching? What are you reading? And as they begin to share what they're watching and what they're reading, inevitably we'll come across something and I'll say, stop right there. What? That's it. That right there is an open door to temptation into your life that you need to close off. And if you close off that door of temptation and you choose to separate yourself from that, God will give you that city. God will set you free and the enemy will be gone in that area of your life. And I've watched it happen. I've watched people that have rejected that and they've continued on, not only in their sin, but to become more a captive. And then I've seen some people say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm not going to read that magazine anymore. I'm not going to watch those kind of movies anymore. I'm not going to watch that show. I'm going to block that channel. And I've watched God set people free by simple acts of obedience, by spying out the sin that has them trapped, and then getting counsel. So there's a very wise thing to do when you have that city of sin that you can't figure out. Why do I keep stumbling in this? Get counsel. Go to your pastor, go to any pastor, go to a friend who knows the word of God and say, listen, let me tell you what's going on in my life, and here's what's happening. What do I need to do? And then you're gonna find there's freedom in that. And again, this is something I deal with on a regular basis as people come to me. But if we do the right thing, God will set us free. God will give us the ability to conquer it and defeat it. Now, again, notice also, and this is important, notice he showed mercy on this man that came out of the city and showed mercy on his family for telling him this secret entrance, this secret passageway. And this is really amazing to me to watch this guy because, again, this is kind of a warning to us. If God shows you the way out of that city of sin, that thing you're trapped in, if he shows you the way out and he gives you counsel, take it. Don't just ignore it. Say, all right, I now see the secret way this has been coming in. I see how this has still got a stronghold in my life. I'm going to deal with it. And then God will show you mercy. And what I love about this is God not only showed this man mercy, he showed his family mercy. Dads, listen up to this. And moms as well, but it falls mostly on the dad. And this example here is a man. If you are allowing sin to keep you trapped in any area of your life, if there's something that's kind of hidden, there's some hidden entrance or way that you don't, and this maybe it's even hidden from the family, but there's sin in your life, it is going to affect your wife and it's going to affect your children as well. But if you get set free from that sin, it will also be a blessing to your wife and a blessing to your children as well. And this man, because he simply did what God said, and he showed them the way in and the way out to the city that needed to be conquered. What did God do? God said, all right, now you're free and your family's free as well. And God delivered him. And this is a blessing, but it's a warning for us. It's not something to take lightly. We can't think that our sin doesn't affect our family. It does. It affects our family greatly, either in a bad way or either in a good way. And again, I want to also encourage you that if God does give you the way out and if God is showing you maybe right now, maybe as we're talking about this, God is saying, you know what? This area in your life that you're struggling in, and God just put his finger on what it was in your heart that secret passageway to get in there. You know, you really shouldn't be watching that show, or you really shouldn't be doing that. God's showing you right now what it is. And you've got a choice to make. Am I going to do something about that or not? Don't have the attitude, well, I'll just wait till later. I'll wait till later. Listen, if this man had waited until later, he would have died with the entire city that was about to be judged by the Lord. And my point is, when God is telling you, and when God is warning you, and God is encouraging you to be free, now is the time to be free because you don't know how long you're going to be captive. And I've seen people that have postponed it because I want to think about it a while longer, and they go down with the ship. Don't go down with the ship. If God is convicting you this morning, respond to it because God is merciful, but even God has his limits. And we're going to see that after this man was clear of the city, God destroyed the city. He waited on that man to get away. Now, don't lose this point either, and that is when it comes to defeating sin in our life, we covered this last, but it stands out so starkly here in verse 25. He says, he showed them the entrance of the city, and they struck the city with what? The edge of the sword. Remember, how is it that you defeat sin in your life? The word of God. The Bible says God's word is our sword. You strike it with the edge of the sword. It is written. It is written. I speak to the young man. It is written, flee sexual immorality. If you're a young man, you're not married, that's a temptation. And when the temptation comes, and it will over and over, because we're human, you say this, it is written, flee sexual immorality. And you quote it, and you resist it, and you don't look at these things, you don't watch those things, and you stay away from the areas where you can stumble. God will give you power, and God will set you free. And whatever area of your life you're dealing with, you use the edge of the sword. Quote scripture, memorize scripture, and battle against it with scripture. Now, here's the amazing thing about this guy. Look, God gives him another chance. God, through the children of Israel, sets him free. And look at verse 26. And this is where the guy, I believe, messes up. We don't know what ultimately happened with him, but this right here, I think the Holy Spirit is showing us this is a mistake that any of us can make. Verse 26, and the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, note this, and called its name Luz, which is its name even to this day. Guys, look at what this guy did. God set him free from the city of Luz, which was a city of sin, which was a city that God was judging. He goes in God's mercy after escaping, and he goes and builds another city with the exact same name. Here's the bottom line. It's not that the name was being judged. It shows, I think, the heart of the man that came out of the city of Luz. You know, you can take the man out of Luz, but can you get the Luz out of the man? It would almost be like somebody who goes out and they get drunk and they drive 100 miles an hour down Pellissippi. They have a terrible wreck and God spares their life. And they live. They made it. They're okay. But they get a DUI. They've got some consequences, but they're alive and no one else was injured. And what does that person do as soon as they get out? They go right back, get drunk again, and start driving at 100 miles an hour. Listen, the bottom line is if God has given you another chance and let you escape the city of judgment, don't go back to it. This guy had it simply built into his DNA. He was a loser. Now that's corny, but it gets the point across. We can either live our lives as losers, going back to the same judgment over and over and over, or we can say, God, in your mercy, you set me free from that. I will not go back. You know, from time to time, the enemy will tempt me and say, you know, yeah, but boy, remember the party days? Hey, that was some fun time. Hey, and wait a minute. I also remember all the gross stuff, you know, and all the stuff that I don't want to talk about. He tends to want to bring up the good times that went with the sin we were involved in, but he's real quiet when it comes to all the throw up that followed that. Have you ever noticed that? And the Bible says a dog, it's like a dog returning to his what? When God sets you free, listen, when Satan does that, and recently some things come, you know, yeah, I really want to, you know, here's what always comes to my mind. I've been to that city. I lived in that city a long time. I know what's in that city. I'm not going back, and I don't want to go back. I want to go to the new city, the city of God that God has for me in heaven, where I'm going to live forever in freedom with him. That's the city we're to be looking toward. Not the old city in the past, but this is what the enemy tries to draw every single one of us back to. And if you don't admit it, you're lying. Happens to the pastor on down. There's nothing special about being a pastor. It just means that if I get in trouble, it has a bigger impact. How about that? But if you get in trouble, it causes an impact on the body of Christ as well. We're in this thing together as a family. And we need to pray for each other, and we need to flee, and we need to have defeat and to drive the enemy out of our life and live in that freedom that God has, and not to be like this guy. Oh, yeah, you set me free, but yeah, I'm going to build another city with the same name because I remember what it was like. Yeah, it might be kind of bad now, but there were some good times, you know, whatever. No, there's not. It leads to death and darkness. It's the same path. It's the same death. It will not change for eternity. And those who remain in it are going to be sucked down with it into eternity. And so we go for the upward call of Jesus Christ. Well, now he jumps into the rest of these cities, moving on down, starting in verse 27, or the rest of the tribes, rather, as they go in to take their territory. And notice how they just fail over and over and over. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. Notice, first of all, he went in and got partial victory, but did not drive everyone out of these villages like God commanded him to do. That is the tribe of Manasseh. And why? Because it brings us to the next type of sin. Notice the last sentence in that verse, they were determined to dwell in the land. Listen, there are some sins that are determined they're going to stay in your life. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many promises, I will not do that next week. Okay, I did it again, but next week I will not do that. All right, I did it again, but next week, and week after week after week, all we see is that we are weak. Guys, we can't do it. It's God's power and God's power alone. And there are sins that are determined, I'm not leaving. Oh, yes, you will. No, I'm not. Yes, you will. No, I'm not. And they're like little arms are crossed, like, right? There's the only way to deal with them again is the power of God. It's simply making the right choices. I'm not going to give this determined sin an opportunity. And God, you've got to set me free. Listen, I think a lot of times God is just waiting for us to say to him, I really want you. I want to be set free. When I'm struggling with temptation, I don't try to hide it. God sees everything. You ever think God doesn't see it? You think we're getting, you know, don't say it because God, he knows what you're thinking. He knows everything about you. I remember when our kids were little, you know, you play that hide and seek game and they get behind this one little tree with a branch and they're like this much bigger than it. You know, like, well, not that big. They'd have been giants, right? Right. The Nephilim. I've got the Elphilim. I've got the reverse. But they're anyway, so they're like this wide and they're behind this little tree and they're giggling. And you're going, where are they? I can't see them. And you're going, and you know exactly where they are and you see everything about them. And they jump back and go, here I am. And they start giggling. A lot of times when we pray and we're not just being flat out honest with the Lord, we're like that little kid behind that tree. And he's going, you know what? Come out from behind that little stick and be honest with me. Lord, I'm struggling with lust. Well, thank you for admitting it. Lord, I'm struggling with wanting to steal money from a boss. Well, then thank you for laying that out there. Lord, I've got, and whatever you're struggling with, don't pretend. Tell him, I need your help, God. I don't want to go that way. I've been in that city. I want to be free. And this is something that remains with me. It's like it's determined to stay here. That same thing I've struggled with is determined to pull me back in. And I'm just being honest. God, set me free. Help me. That's a prayer our Father loves. He doesn't sit up there and go, I knew it. I knew it. About time, I knew it. Oh, you're in trouble now, Mark. I'll tell you what. Now, he goes, I know this. I know that. Now, you give it to me. Mark, you choose to stay away from those areas where you can stumble, and you give it to me, and I'll set you free. You make the right choices, I'll give you the power. You got a deal. God just wants honesty. He wants heart. The sad Christian is the one that doesn't even want to be free. They don't mind that. That's determined to stay, and I don't mind. We'll get to that in just a moment. That's not even really under this particular sin title, if you will, but we'll get to that in just a moment because there are those sins that do that. But this is the one here again where it's just determined to stay, and no matter what we do, it seems like it's always there. God says, no, I will set you free even from determined sin, even if you fail over and over and over. The problem is you've got to make the right choice. And I'm going to give you the first, really one of the main things to set you free from all these types of sin, especially determined sin, and that is choices. Choices. Guys, the choices that you make are going to determine what stay in your life.
What a pleasure it's been to have you with us today for this edition of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is walking us through the book of Judges. This, of course, was a time in Israel's history prior to the era of the kings of Israel. Time and time again, Israel was in a precarious situation of being taken advantage of. And God allowed someone to come in and help the nation of Israel be rescued from slavery or oppression. Isn't this such an interesting thing that translates well beyond the Old Testament times? Jesus became the ultimate rescuer who came to rescue mankind from a state of sin and slavery. For those who reject Jesus and his salvation, there are judgments and consequences that come with that choice. But that's not what God wants for any person. He'd much rather have you enter into the heavenly family of God, accepting the invitation that Jesus has offered on his death on the cross. If you're unsure of what all of this means, we invite you to learn more at thewaymedia.net. While there, you can click on the link to Calvary Knoxville, where we have a variety of resources available to you. You can also reach us at our phone number, 865-609-1385. Once again, that phone number to call for questions, concerns, or prayer requests is 865-609-1385. Thanks so much for tuning into the Book of Judges today. We look forward to hearing what Pastor Mark has to share next time about more judges in the Old Testament and what the purpose of each one was. This has been Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.